Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, hosted by me, Sam Harris. A person with a growth mindset believes that their most basic abilities can be developed through dedication and hard work. Brains and talent are just the starting point. This view creates a love of learning and a resilience that is essential for great accomplishments. On the podcast, I find incredible individuals doing things I'd like to be great at. I break down their approach and insights to show how people can go about achieving their dreams. For the first season, I interview some of the most fascinating individuals from my network as I explore the direction to take the podcast, with the only main goal of recording interesting and informative audio. When I began recording the podcast, I was interning as a developer and go on to launch my own development agency, work as a nomad from a remote island in Greece, where I spent my spare time climbing. I learned how to speak properly and immediately tried to implement this ability on girls, disastrously. I then co-launched an AI business that gets funded by an accelerator in Hong Kong. Its first season ends in Kazakhstan on my journey to my new home in Hong Kong. It's been an incredible 6 months and my absolute pleasure to talk to some amazing individuals and to share these conversations with you. For this first introduction precast, I have no other than my mother with me. On a brief visit home, I took the chance to discuss what makes me do the things I do, as no one knows you better than your mother. I thought it would make a useful introduction for the listener. I honestly did not expect to learn as much as I did during this episode. I'm really chuffed that I did it. So without further ado, here is me with my mother.
Hi, Mum.
Hi, Sam. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thank you very much. So, as you know, I am starting a podcast, and I've been going through my first few episodes, and I've got everything ready to launch, but I realised that I now need to have a bit more of an introduction to the podcast and like why I'm doing it. And the point of the podcast is kind of to help people sort of grow and kind of do things that they might not normally do, or like learn and take on new challenges. How do I go about these things, and what do I normally come to you for, and these kind of stuff.
Right. Okay.
Good English there, Sam.
All right, that's cool. I don't know. I do remember when you were a lifeguard at the swimming pool.
Okay.
And you were studying for your A levels, so you weren't very young. You were sixth form.
Yeah.
And you wanted to go on your gap year, and I said no.
I remember that.
Because yeah. I thought you should just go and
a different story.
Go to university. And I said quite clearly from the start, without any sort of... you know, there was no axe to grind. It was just a, well, I'm not paying for you to go on a gap year because I couldn't see the value of it. And you said, okay, I'll pay for it. And you just put in extra hours at the swimming pool, early mornings, late nights, all day Saturday, Sunday afternoons, whatever hours they would give you.
A really great job at a medical company where I just scanned documents for a whole month.
Oh, you did.
That was amazing.
And you actually earned all your money and you went off on your gap year. And I hope you were possibly influenced by the fact that when I was having my little rant about what waste of time gap years are, that they're nothing more than glorified holiday camps for people who should know better. You didn't go on any of the pre-organised... safe,
just
sensible,
feel really good about it.
Gap year types. You actually just freewheeled it. You got on a plane and you just went to places, and then you blagged yourself a job on a boat, saying that you got
in the Caribbean. That was nice.
Saying that you'd got sailing experience when that actually meant in truth that you'd sailed in a kayak occasionally.
No, I did some dinghy sailing like when I was at Brecon.
A little bit of dinghy sailing. Yeah. Oh gosh.
We used to like try and capsize each other, and it was really fun.
It's not really sailboat.
Yeah, I had no idea
how
to even sail at wind.
So and you blagged your way through that, and you earned some money, and you made a few mistakes. Eventually, you got on a decent boat, didn't you? And you had a good time around the Caribbean, and then you went off and hired your car, and you.
I bought my car.
Oh goodness me! Yes, you bought your car, but you see, you didn't come to me for those crazy ideas. You just got on with it by then.
But yeah, I do.
Your car.
I also vividly remember when I.
Oh, yes, when you crashed the car.
What? When did I crash it? Oh, yeah. That's the other guy. He crashed it.
Well, you had an incident in the car, and you rang me, and I was at work. I was actually on a training day in school.
Yeah, I picked up some homeless people.
They were
mental.
Yes. Anyway.
That's quite nice at the time.
So anyway. You did touch base with them when you were doing a crazy thing that went slightly out of hand.
Yeah. I do very much remember when I got back from my gap year, the change in tune from you being like, Sam, why are you doing this? This is awful. Yes. We'll never pay for this. This is terrible.
Yes.
You really shouldn't do this too.
Yes.
Sam, I'm so proud of you. This is such a good thing you've done this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I got it. And I absolutely got it. And in fact, as soon as you'd gone and we were getting reports back and pictures on Facebook and all the things that you were doing, I thought, actually, this Sam was made for this. He was absolutely born to do this. And we sort of stopped worrying at that point. And as long as I had got sight of you on Facebook every few days, I didn't need you to talk to me. I just needed to know that you were still there. And this was, what, we're talking nearly 10 years ago now?
Yes. Yeah,
so Facebook was still...
just starting.
So for the benefit of the listeners, I was, as his mother, on Facebook before Sam. Because I was a very early adopter.
Yeah.
I
was kind of late to Facebook just because you were on Facebook. And I was like, well, yes. So I'll be there. And all my friends left. Like, oh, crap.
My mum's already there.
Yeah.
So, so that was good. Facebook was great for me to just know that you were okay. And I didn't fuss or chase you or bother or anything. The only time I was slightly worried was when you were actually, you'd got to South America and you went into radio silence for about 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I had my... before the iPhone, I had like an Apple, the MP3 one. It was kind of like the iPhone, but just no phone capabilities. And I used that for Wi-Fi. Then it got stolen in Peru or Bolivia, I think. And then I got arrested. And I was like, I should probably just not mention anything for a few days.
Until I'm
quite far away from where I was arrested. And then go, oh, so Mum, that time I was arrested. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm in a different country now, so we'll move on.
Yeah. So that was the only time I was a bit sort of, and I wasn't actually greatly worried. I just thought, I assumed something had happened, like you'd lost your phone or you'd something, you know. I just do believe that bad news travels fast and we'd have been notified by the authorities if something terrible had happened. So I assumed you would just sort of run to ground for whatever reason. Mm. Okay. But in terms of you coming to us for advice, I have to say it always gives me a nice little glow when you do still come back to us for some advice. And I think probably we advise each other now that you're sort of, you know, much more mature and older and experienced and things on a mutual sort of basis.
Yeah, I think,
you know, I can ask you about things. It's not a
changed more. After my gap year when I started running my business and I was talking to you about those kind of things.
But, so when you were at university and you wanted to enter that competition for some entrepreneur funding, that was great. I was really thrilled that you'd come to us to ask about, you know, what sort of business should I set up. And you got some great ideas, didn't you, about solar panels and things.
Yeah.
And
basically Tesla's business plan back before Tesla.
Well, it was really,
doing,
wasn't it?
Yes. All the things they are now doing.
There's remarkable similarities. But so that was great. And it was nice to unpack that with you because you've got some great ideas and you weren't sure whether you needed to put all of your ideas or your biggest and your best ideas out to get the funding. And I think what you talked to Dad as well, not just me, or whether it should be something more realistic, because if you were to win the prize, which obviously you didn't know when you went into it, whether you were going to get funding or not, if you were going to win, you'd got to sort of act on it, hadn't you? You've got to put this business into action. So I think we were a bit concerned that you were going to start a solar panel business while you were still only a first year undergraduate. So we went down the much more studenty type business route, which was to think about the cycle courier business and the cycle taxi business, which you set up and actually went on to be very successful in Bristol during that time that you were at university. And it meant you didn't have to go work down the supermarket or, you know, get waiter jobs in a cafe or you could even give up the lifeguarding. So that gave you employment. It gave you some revenue. It gave you a way of finding out about how to sort of attract funding, whether it was for a straightforward business or a social enterprise. We sort of talked about all of those things, didn't we?
Employing people broadly reserved.
Yes, exactly. The different ways of employing people, whether it was on a proper employment contract or on a sort of freelance or a sort of paid hours contract. It gave us license to talk about all sorts of very grown up things. Actually,
yeah, I hadn't really understood what you guys did when I was growing up.
And you guys kind of had businesses and things. It was just like, this is just what parents do. Mm. It wasn't until I started doing it, it was like, oh crap, all this stuff. Like, oh guys, I totally understand, but also I don't know what I'm doing. So you can tell me.
It was nice to show you how to set up a limited company and talk you through. We had all those conversations about the advantages and pros and cons of going as a sole trader or as a limited company. That was great to be able to talk to an 18-year-old who also happens to be your son.
20 by then.
Well, you must have been getting on for 20 by then, because you'd had a gap year and you were not quite, because you were just in the...
Yeah, now I was 20.
It was Easter of your first year.
No, because I remember vividly waking up on my 20th birthday naked and covered in swastikas in Birmingham, being like, I don't really want to get drunk anymore. And then going to my own thrushes a week later and being like,
oh, right, okay.
Oh, God, I had to do my drinking. And never really being quite so keen on partying by the time I got the uni.
Okay, all right, fair enough. You remember that.
So I was definitely 20. No, but anyway.
So the business was, that was nice to be able to talk to you about that. Mm. It was good. And it was nice to be able to show you how easy it is and how inexpensive. You don't have to go down a very expensive, you don't have to pay a solicitor. You just look at Companies House on their website, they give you all the advice that you ever need for setting up a company. And you can go off and do it relatively, for just a few tens of pounds.
Yeah, I think in general, the whole starting of my first business and running it was quite safe, even though it seemed pretty impressive that I had people employed and was doing stuff. Yeah. I never really took any huge risks.
No, it was low tech, low risk. You didn't carry any stock.
Yeah, I nearly failed second year.
Yeah, otherwise, I think you were worried actually. Once you set it up and you suddenly realised what a massive commitment it was, and you do only do things properly, don't you?
Yeah.
Once you'd set it up, you were very committed to it. And I think there was a worry that you were letting it all get on top of you and you were trying to keep your studies going as well and that something had got to give. But I think you kept your head above water just about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you guys really helped me stick to a framework of only promising things I could deliver. I did take a few big risks, and sometimes I'd be in a meeting and someone would ask for some service that we'd never really thought about doing, and I'd just be like, oh yeah, we're professionals at that. That's our thing. We're good at that. And I'd scramble madly to put stuff together and try and sell it to someone else, so we had enough to hire a new rider to do this new service, which was kind of exciting, but we always managed to deliver, and which is what's important, even if it did nearly kill me.
But you did win a lot of business. You got yourself a lot of customers and regular customers. You quickly learned that the taxi business was way more difficult to try to run, where you're dealing with lots of individual customers on a one-off, low-value basis. People will only pay you a very small amount to get you from A to B. Whereas your bread shop and your news agents and your people that you're delivering magazines for and these sorts of things will pay you repeat business. They need to plan, so it allowed you to plan, and you could have a rider available at 7 o'clock each morning to pick up the bakery run.
You're going to earn this much.
Yeah, that was much more straightforward and a lot less hassle. It was still an amount of hassle when riders didn't turn up.
Specification for the app Uber, which obviously now exists. Yes, back when it didn't exist, like, oh, that's solve all my problems.
you did.
And no one would build it for me. Wow. Computer scientist.
So that was very interesting, seeing all that develop and to see the unexpected turns that relationship that you forged with the people at Yale and Basecamp and the delivery people, DHL.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you had ended up staying in the courier business, you'd already forged a network of people who would have been able to help grow that into a more substantial business rather than a student business, if you know what I mean. And I don't mean that in a dismissive way. I think the business you ran was appropriate and right, but for the situation you were
in
at the time. You know, it was a very genuine business. And you did fantastic work getting funding, taking the eco-friendly message out. You became part of the Green Bristol project campaign thing, which was very, very worthwhile. And I think reflected well on you and on them and on all the people that were involved with you on that. So that, you know, you learned an awful lot from that, doing presentations and Dragon's Den type things that you went in for.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I always used to be really bad at presenting and talking in general, which I'm still getting better at. But yeah, that helped a lot.
That did help a lot. It did. Yeah. It really.
Do you think you did anything to make me more motivated? Because I certainly remember, like,
some of the kids at school were given, like, an incentive, like, oh, if you get, like, an A in GCSE, we'll give you 50 quid or something.
Nope.
I remember asking you and being like, oh, guys. And you're like, no, Sam. Like,
nope.
If you were want to do well in life, you'll try hard. And I'm like,
yep.
Okay, I guess I'll try hard. It's my problem, isn't it?
That's right. Absolutely right. Yep. No, I've never believed that children should ever be paid to go to school. They should never be paid to pass exams. No, I would never, ever tie those into financial reward. No, that's just something you have to do. You just have to get on with it. And you just have to put the work in. And you'll get your reward in the rest of your life. I don't think we did shelter you when you were young. I remember sending you off to Spain when you were about 15.
Yeah, that was really good for me.
Those sorts of things.
Yeah, I don't remember you having always like an ice cream and being like, oh, Sam, go and ask the lady for an ice cream. I'm like, no, you can do it. I can't speak. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, that's true.
The lady will be nice to you, Sam. Don't think so.
So, yeah, no, I did used to do all that sort of thing. Mm. But then my mum did with me. She just did. Yeah. In fact, I remember from when we were very young, and she told us this. She would send us, we only went to next door. I was going to say, she sent us miles away. But we'd go and stay the night round at next door.
Yeah.
Rather than getting babysitters in, if she and my dad went out, we would go and have a camp bed.
Yeah.
With the next door neighbours. Like,
just on around the week.
And, no, she's so, no, this will be good for you. No, this will be very good for you because if ever I have to go into hospital or something and you have to go and stay with next door, then you'll be used to it.
Yeah.
And you know what she was like, how she used to talk.
Yeah.
And so I was, that's what, cool. I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And that's what we used to do. So, you know, I never, there was never that sort of, oh, I want my mummy. All that sort of thing.
Yeah. So, you know,
turfed out and told to get on with it. Yes.
Very, very stoic mindset.
Yes, she did teach us to be stoic, and I've tried to pass the same on to you and Kim.
Remember that summer where I slept on the floor for a whole summer for no real reason?
Yes, I do.
Don't really know why I did that.
No, I don't know why you did that.
Yeah. But I think that was just some random stoicism coming out of me.
I'll let you get on with it.
Yeah. Maybe not being happy, like, Sam, you've got a bed, like... Yeah. Why do we even have this bed for you? But I'll be good at camping if I do this.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That sort of thing.
And now I hate sleeping on floors and camping.
But you know that you can if
but
you
it's
have
practical,
to.
What do you wish I would do less of?
I don't know. Maybe. Only slightly less. Slightly less of the multitasking.
Yeah.
Because I think you're very talented and I think you don't always give yourself a chance because you're so busy trying to do lots of other things at the same time that I sometimes think, oh gosh, you could really shine at that. But you're so busy, you know, maybe your IT development stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've got so many other distractions on your time that you probably are being the best developer.
Stop doing
you
a podcast,
be,
Sam. That's what you're saying.
No, well, actually, no. Well, maybe yes. Not necessarily the podcast, but just some of the other things that you do.
Yeah.
To give yourself some space to really focus and maybe.
That's actually a really good point.
Allow yourself the time and space to really push to the boundaries of expertise on something.
Yeah,
rather than trying to do that and be in several different choirs across several different continents at the same time.
Two.
too. Well, that's, you know, that's well exactly. Do you see what I mean, though?
I'm not trying to, like,
you know, put yourself out and about there as being the person who supports and helps other people to start up businesses, because I know that's another passion of yours. And trying, and then once they start up their businesses, they're constantly calling on you for advice, and so you're trying to get your own, say it's your development expertise honed, but you're constantly on the phone or text or social media trying to help these other people who are tripping over things that you tripped over 6, 7, 8 years ago. So maybe I think just being a bit kinder to yourself in terms of your time instead of trying to do everything. But I have to, having said all of that, I stand back and admire how well you do across how many things that you do, because I don't think I could do that amount of multitasking. And I think I do sometimes worry slightly that you just need a little bit of stillness time.
Yeah.
A little bit of just let all of that go. Turn off your phone, turn off your laptop.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a bit more of like a, oh, this weekend where I don't do anything. Don't know why I haven't asked you that before.
Yeah, okay. That's all.
Yeah, cool.
That's all.
Then what do you wish I would do more of?
Oh, well, maybe I know you like meditating and yoga, don't you?
Okay.
Both of those things. You can meditate while you do yoga. I think it's better to do that rather than... I know it's possible to do yoga while you're watching the TV, because I do it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's different if you do it like properly.
But actually, if you let yourself get into it and get into the moment of it, it becomes a meditation exercise in itself. And I think that would give you, again, like what I was saying just a few minutes ago, just that little bit of still space where your mind can just switch off from the busyness of all of the things that you get into. And I think probably then you'd go back to it really refreshed and imaginative again, and those little creative sparks can sort of get flying again because you've given yourself a bit of space. That's, so maybe you could do a bit more yoga and meditation. But that doesn't mean get up earlier to do it or go to bed later to do it. It means organising your time better in the day to allow a bit of space.
Yeah, when I'm in somewhere reliably in the same schedule, generally do sort that out.
Cool. Yeah,
As good at meditating as I'd like to be.
That's all I can think
of. I want to do like a proper retreat for like 2 weeks where you kind of get forced, they like take your phone and laptop off you at the door and like
crazy.
And then
I would build it up, Sam. I think maybe 5 or 10 minutes first, not a fortnight. No,
that's kind of why I like going climbing, is like you just ignore everything, or biking and stuff for a day.
In fact, that was interesting. When you sent me the photographs of you climbing, my first thought was, I hope he's concentrating on that. Because I know what you're like.
You can't be taking your phone at the climbing wall.
Oh, not your phone, but just, I could just imagine you running ideas all through your head the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I definitely had a few ideas going on sometimes.
You know, and I'm thinking, you should really be utterly focused on where's the next handhold? Where's my next
actual climbing wall, it was generally like, oh, God. Everything hurts, I don't know what to do. Help.
That should focus your mind.
Yeah, really. No, it was
so that would be good. That would be good for you, yes, I'm sure. If you're 3 weeks climbing, that is almost like a retreat.
Yeah, same way I want to do more like kite surfing and all these things.
Yes.
Kind of flow.
Yeah, well, that's good.
We went on to talk about my challenges with dyslexia, which took rather a while and wasn't all that useful. And then onto things that should be on the school curriculum, which again took rather a while and wasn't that useful. We then moved on to books, where my mum recommends one of the best books of all time.
I do remember when I was a young English teacher, The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole had just come out. And
I remember you gave me that book.
I spoke to my then head of department and said, I've heard this fantastic story serialized on the radio, because it was written as a radio play to start with.
Yeah.
So I hear this fantastic story on the radio, and it's coming out as a book, and I think we should get it for the English department. And so the head of department went away and ordered a copy and read it, and then and came back and said, "Are you mad? We can't read this to the children."
Well, the best way is measuring his penis and stuff, maybe.
So that was early 1980s, and I was told we couldn't read Adrian Mole in school. Whereas now it's old fashioned.
Can you explain why you think I would be a good podcast host?
Because you have a lovely smile.
People can't see that, Mum.
No, but the host, if they're in the room with you or on a Skype with you.
That's a very good point.
While you're doing the podcast, they can. And you always come across, I think, because you are, it's not a front. You're a very genuine person. You've never needed to put a front on for people. You just are what you are. And so if you're in a shy mood, you come across as shy. If you're in a curious mood, you come across as curious. If you're in a busy mood, you just come across as busy. You just are what you are, and people know where they are with you at any point in time. So I think people will talk to you and they'll open up to you. And that's what your listeners want to hear, is you engaging with your guest. You're a good listener. You give people room to.
Cool. I feel like I'm going to be a good host now.
So I think you will be. Of course you will be.
Oh, that's really nice.
That's all right, isn't
it? I feel warm inside.
Oh, good. Nice. A little glow. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay, cool.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Sam. Yeah. We'll chat again soon.
Yeah, go back to the ironing or something.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry for delaying the ironing.
That's all right. It's not a problem. Any excuse. Besides, I finished my tea now, so it's time to stop.
Okay. It's a wrap.
So, that was my mum. I did forget to ask her how you might get in touch. And you can find her on Twitter at VirtualJane. She did mention the fact she is on Facebook before me, which she loves telling everybody. But don't try and find her there because, I don't know. It's a bit weird. She also runs a YouTube channel with my father and various other band members who I grew up calling uncle and things like that, and only found out much later I'm not related to them. And they play nice music from the 60s, 70s and 80s. So if you want to find that channel, it's Nick and Jane. I'll put a link in the notes.
We do allude to some topics that sound like they need a bit more backstory covering of them, like why was I in prison? Why was I driving with a bunch of homeless people in my car when I had a car crash? And that can be covered another time because the podcast is now long enough. But there is one subject that we briefly mentioned that I felt I should probably address now, because the time when I woke up covered in swastikas, I would just like to mention I am not a supporter of the Nazi Party and was not very happy that I was covered in swastikas, and by covered in swastikas I meant that people had used a permanent marker and drew them all over me. Though to be fair, it was more penises than swastikas as a ratio, but it was very frustrating, and they were even in my eyelids, and it was a terrible time, and I would just like to clear that up. I had no intention of that happening, and would definitely not recommend getting your friends to mix your drinks when it's your 20th birthday. And even if you are good at drinking games like me, you should remember when you're a lightweight and stop drinking, even if you're able to down things, because bad things happen like that. And now to move on to some top tips from the episode.
I'm still surprised by some of the great things I discovered during this conversation. The format of an open podcast where I can ask my mother personal things about me, like what I should do with my life, was really insightful. I really recommend asking your own family questions like, what do you wish I did more, or what do you wish I did less, and just see what you learn about yourself, like what have you got to lose. Instead of advertisers this episode, I have some recommendations. I read a recent blog about spending time with family. By the time you turn 18, you've already spent 95% of the time you will ever spend with your parents. I also found a website that I'll link in the show notes that you can put your parents' age into, and then the regularity that you go to see them. It will then tell you how many times you will see each other again before your parents die. It's a pretty shocking reminder to bother to go and see them when it might be a bit inconvenient to go do it. So from those things, it definitely inspires you to spend more time with family. And as that's how I started this podcast, I thought that was a useful recommendation, and it made me feel a bit sad at the time. As this is a self-improvement podcast, I'm going to break down the three best tips from each of my guests. And in this case, my mum actually gives some great ones. Instead of listening to Tim Ferriss or Silicon Valley people, you can just go talk to my mum and she'll come out with like top business advice. So, onto that. So to start with, number one, stoicism. The practice of resilience and stepping outside of your comfort zone to reduce your fear of losing everything and appreciating what you do have. She actually got this from my nan, who was a crazy awesome lady. She used to send her kids to the neighbours, randomly, just so they'd be okay if for some reason the parents died. Which I guess is the ultimate resilience for any child. And is a practice I haven't really heard of these days. Number two, meditation and focus. This was a really big one from her. The practice of calming your mind and helping to find focus and peace. And from that, try to not do so many things at once so you can apply more focus on the things that are your priorities and ultimately be more successful as a whole. Remember that often, less is more. 3. Test your ideas. The earlier, the better. So don't be afraid to start a business at uni. If things go tits up, then you're just back at your home with your parents anyway. It's okay to play it safe and try less risky business models that aren't going to change the world straight away, but will help teach you the essentials of launching a business, which you can then scale up. It also makes it easier to pivot your business into serving a product that is more popular than what your initial idea is. So basically, think sensibly about what fits your situation the best and try things that fit the potential market. In general, if you dreamed of running a business, but it seems like such a big thing, it's actually not that hard to try something just on a small scale as a side project without sacrificing everything, and literally anyone can start a business that way. Books. Oh my god, if you haven't read Adrian Mole, you have to go and read it. It is the most hilarious book I've ever read, I think. I've found myself laughing out loud in public so many occasions, and it was just awesome. You should totally read it. I don't want to give anything away. And then in terms of advice, I also have an anti-advert from my time at home. I recently bought my dad the famous mushroom coffee from Four Sigmatic after I heard so much about it on various other podcasts and the hub about it in Silicon Valley. Its supposed huge mental benefits and great taste were completely lost on my dad. His main feedback was, "Why on earth have you bought me instant coffee that tastes like mushrooms?" So I belatedly took my present back and bought him a case of BrewDog. I then tried to give this coffee to some of my caffeine-addicted friends, none of whom jumped at the chance, and I got the feeling they were just taking it off my hands to just go and throw it away. Personally, I don't drink caffeine, so it's not very useful for me. So I have 3 packs of 10 sachets of different types of mushroom coffee that I am willing to give away to the first listeners to send me their details. Basically, I'll send you 1 sachet that you can try for free, and that way you won't waste your money on mushroom coffee if you don't like it. So yeah, hit me up on Twitter, @SamHarrisTweets, and I'll send you some coffee, because why not? Waste not, want not, hey? As always, thanks a lot for listening. If you found the podcast useful, please support me by rating the podcast in iTunes or your preferred app. Please become a subscriber and share your favourite podcast with others, as it really helps me grow the podcast.
You can follow me @SamHarrisTweets and give me any feedback you have. And I hope that gives you something useful to think about. Until next time, where I'll be interviewing my friend and serial entrepreneur, Tomiwa Ade, about his project to launch 24 startups in 24 months and generally be a nomad around the world. It's going to be a great episode, and I hope to see you there.
I'm Sam, and this has been another episode of the Growth Mindset Podcast. I hope you enjoy your day.